Romans chapter 3, and then we'll go back to the book of Psalms and look at some things back there. But we'll start out in Romans chapter 3, and then we'll end in Romans chapter 3 as well. I want to preach to you the gospel tonight. I'm a big believer in preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. So he said, well, Brother Mike, we're all saved. Well, I hope that's the case. I really do. I hope that's the case that we're all saved. But who said that saved people don't need to hear the gospel? Who said that? I never heard anybody say that. I don't think anybody should say that. And I want to come at the gospel message tonight this way. Jesse started off his testimony by saying God was exceedingly good. And that's really what I want to preach about tonight. Goody two shoes. You ever heard anybody use that word, that somebody doing good? They say, well, that's a holy roller. That's a do-gooder. No, they ain't nothing but a goody two-shoes. And that's throwing off on doing right. What in the world is wrong with doing right? Amen. Anything? I'll just kind of lay it on you kind of easy. Like, did you know in this world there are people whose badness is their goodness? Some people proclaim their badness just as extremely, just as profoundly, just as enthusiastically. That's the good word. I go through the words I know and I'll find the one I'm looking for. They proclaim their badness as enthusiastically as the Pharisees proclaim their goodness. Oh, I'm bad. I'm bad. I made a Facebook post one time about wanting to be a better man than I was when I got saved. I hope that's the case. I got saved a long time ago. I believe it's 1974. I remember the place. I remember the sun shining through the church windows. I remember the altar. I remember who brought the Bible down and showed me the verses I'd done seen 50 times before. I suppose I was about 5 years old, somewhere in between 74 and 75. But at any rate, I remember getting saved. I remember the message was on God's judgment. And I remember going to the altar wanting to be saved. They showed me in the Bible if I call on the name of the Lord, he had saved me. And I did that. Amen. And that matter of fact, they used part of this verse right here about Romans chapter 3. They used part of this chapter here to show me how to get saved. And probably a lot of you paid a visit to Romans chapter 3 when you got saved as well. Amen. It tells us there's none good. No, not one. Well, at any rate, I put in that post I wanted to be a good fella. And I would hope I'm a better fella than I was in 1975. I know I did backslid. I can remember going to church and riding a bus. And my bus was a van. To begin with, Miss Lackey picked us up on a van, and I always thought it was neat, that little box that's in the old vans. You might not know what an old van looks like, but vans in the 70s had a doghouse in them, and weren't no dogs in there. There was horses in the doghouse. That's where the motor lived, in the doghouse. All the horsepower was under that doghouse, and Miss Lackey, because we weren't worried about every bump and scratch that might happen to you back in those days, Miss Lackey would let me preach while the van was in motion, standing up on my own 2 feet while the vehicle was in motion. Now, you don't do that today. It's a certainty that you'll die if you stand up while a vehicle is moving this day and time. Especially, I think the law of physics says that if a person under 18 years of age is moving around in a moving vehicle, it's a certainty they're going to die. But at any rate, that wasn't true. The laws of physics has changed since the 70s. That wasn't true in the 70s, and she would let me preach, and I used that doghouse for the pulpit. Of course, you had to lay your Bible up there. I couldn't read, but I had a Bible. Amen. I couldn't read very good. I could read a little bit, 4 or 5 years old. But at any rate, lay my Bible there and say something or another, and then turn around and preach to all the people in the van. And then when we got out of school, Mama had us get off the bus, the school bus, at one of the state daycare facilities because Mom and Daddy worked. I think that's also a sin now for mamas and daddies to work. But at any rate, my mama and daddy worked, and we got off the bus at the state facility, which I wouldn't recommend if you work or don't work. I wouldn't recommend you dropping your kids off at a state facility. Unless there's a little Baptist kid who's done had all the Sunday school teachers tell him that you're a good Christian if you go tell people how to be saved. And I remember preaching on the school van, and I remember going around at nap time at the little state facility. We all had little mats, and you'd take a nap. And, of course, most people didn't take a nap, but that was so the teachers could have peace and quiet. It's, implement a nap time. If you're looking for peace and quiet as a parent, nap time is what we used to do about that. Amen. But when the teacher wasn't looking, I would just ease off of my mat and slide around to the little kid and say, hey, you know Jesus as your Savior? And a lot of them would say yes. If they said no, I said, well, you say this prayer and you'll go to heaven. Just told them how to pray it. I didn't know theology and I didn't know much, but I knew we were supposed to be telling people. Amen. So that's what I did when I first got saved. Started doing that, grew up and read my Bible. Mom and Daddy taught us how to read, and then they taught us how to read our Bible. And used to go out and read my Bible about 20 minutes a day, and I believed it. That's the greatest thing about reading your Bible is believing it. A lot of kids read their Bible and they, man, I got to read this Bible, and Mama's making me read the Bible, and you really don't get nothing out of it. But when she did make me read it, and the sitting still part I didn't care too much for, and taking an hour out of my day, I didn't care too much for that because I like to play. We had bicycles and cardboard boxes and all kinds of stuff to play with back in those days. And we could go just about anywhere we wanted to as long as we was home on time for supper. And so we had a good time playing. But we did have to take some time out. Mom and Daddy made sure we took time out to read our Bibles. And I like to read my Bible. I told you last week, I don't like going on house-to-house visitation very much until I get there. Then I have the time of my life. And that's about the way it was reading my Bible when I was growing up. I didn't care too much about taking any time out of my day to read it, but once I did, boy, those stories were wonderful. The Bible stories were wonderful to me, and I believed them all. I never doubted it one bit. Oh, that's absolutely true. Well, they just taught us that was true as a kid, and so we didn't have CNN and all that stuff in the house. We didn't have a television in the house for a long time. After we started coming to church on the bus, my mom and dad started coming eventually and got saved. And then my dad wanted to work on the bus. And so I don't know if he got rid of it of his own free will or not. But the rule was at the church you couldn't work on the bus if you had a TV in your house. You couldn't be a deacon. If you had a TV in your house, you couldn't be a Sunday school teacher. If you had a TV in the house, so we didn't have a TV in the house. And so we got plenty of time to read your Bible that way, amen? But at any rate, we read about, I believe my Bible, the CNN part I was talking about. You know, most of the stuff that kids figure out about atheism and all kinds of stuff like that comes through television. I don't think there's very many mamas and daddies that actually tell their kids there ain't no God and stuff like that. Maybe there are. I mean, there's probably a lot, but the percentage is probably pretty small compared to all the people on the earth. People on the earth are pretty religious. They believe in some kind of God anyway. But most of your atheistic junk comes off of television, stuff like that. And dinosaurs and stuff like that, you know, that wasn't a big thing back when we were kids. But at any rate, I read my Bible and I believed my Bible. And I guess I thought most all Christians were just like the men and women in the Bible. They were all real good or real bad. Amen? That's just the way I thought of it as a kid. Then I grew up a little bit and started seeing some real life Christians in action and some bad things that took place and some good things that took place. I went to probably, I guess, the most strictest church that there is on the planet And as I got up in my teenage years, I began to see some pretty bad things going on. Church people falling in, not that they were, you know, carrying on right there in the church house. I'm just saying, Mom and Daddy had a bunch of friends, and Mom and Daddy be talking to friends when they go over to a friend's house, and did you know so-and-so did this, and so-and-so did that. And as a teenager, that rubbed me the wrong way. I thought all Christians was all good or all bad. Amen? And so, but at any rate, got up through my high school years and went to church still because I had to. We did, I guess when I was about 14 or 15, we did get out of church for a couple years. And then we got back into church, I guess about the time I was 16, 17. And we had to go. We were made to go. Somebody said something about getting a whooping when they were 16 years old or something. I think that was Brother Cody. Boy, I tell you what, we got whoopings. It didn't matter. If you lived in Mom and Daddy's house, you got a whooping. I don't care what age you was. What difference does that make? You can go to jail when you're 50, when you're 40. Yeah, amen. You can go to jail when you're 21, right? Well, you can get a whooping when you're 21. Yeah. Well, thankfully, I didn't live at home when I was 21. But my younger brother did. I'm pretty sure he got a whooping or two. But at any rate, I know this, he got it. Well, I'm not going to give it there. No use in bringing up jealousies while you're trying to preach the Word of God, amen? But at any rate, got a little backslid, and especially when I got in the Marine Corps, got way backslid. And your Christian character, me and Brother Samson was talking about that a little bit. Brother Samson, my brother-in-law, Samson, was talking about that a little bit. Your Christian character is really going to be challenged when mama's not there anymore and the preacher's not there anymore. That's the thing with these churches emptying out after COVID. People watching TV from home, but there really ain't no pastor around. And when you got nobody really putting the thumbscrews to you, and I'll say this too, may as well say it because I don't guess there's much of a time limit here tonight. You can watch TV at home, but I don't believe people watching TV at home tonight, I don't believe there's no pressure on them. When you come in here and sit down, you got to pay attention. You can't really move around and make a lot of noise just for etiquette's sake. You kind of forces you to pay attention, and the Word of God presses you down a little bit. You're sitting at home, you're getting popcorn and going to the refrigerator for iced tea and it's probably not even sweet, so I don't even know why you go get it. I don't even know why you have tea up here if you're not going to put no sugar in it. But anyway, that's your own business. It's your own business. But at any rate, that's true. You go sit home and watch TV preaching. It's going to be like about the same as it is riding down the street listening to it on the radio, I guess. I've heard some good preaching on the radio. I just didn't hear the whole sermon. Amen? And there was no altar call. So I don't believe in altar. There are Christians who don't even believe in altar calls. You believe that? I don't believe in that. Well, why not? Show me a chapter and verse for an altar call. You know what? You got a problem. If you need a chapter and a verse to go forward and pray about something immediately when God lays it on your heart, something wrong with you. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to venture to say what it is. I'm not even going to say you're backslid, but I will say there's something wrong with your thinking. Amen. I go to judgment on that one. Amen. Right, you and me right before God, and we'll ask him about it because I'm sure of it. I'm sure of it. Well, you say the same thing about Wednesday night service. Ain't no Bible for Wednesday night. There's not? Why not? Why ain't there no Bible? Why can't you find anything in the Bible that would lead you to believe that Wednesday night church would be okay or going to the altar would be okay? Amen. Amen. Yeah, a lot of people just want to. They might be Baptists and they may claim that they're no good, but they think they're real good. I got all this wisdom and all this stuff you're doing at church is wrong. Well, okay. I don't believe that. Amen. Something is desperately and definitely wrong with that kind of mentality. we just started going to church as a little kid. Hey, the Lord touched your heart during the preaching or during the singing and you want to come forward and pray and talk to God, come on down, this is your opportunity. We'll play just a couple of stanzas, Just As I Am. Went down the altar and prayed. Never got up from the altar. Man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But evidently, somebody, somewhere along the way, Brother Mike, went to the altar and got up and regretted it. Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Something in their mind, they went home, something in their mind was saying, there's something wrong with going forward to the altar. If not, how did they come up with that conclusion? You know what it is? Somebody saw them go to the altar. They saw a man preach. And they saw Brother so-and-so get up and go to the altar. And when they got up and went back to their seat, they think, I'm not right with God now. And they can't stand that. But if they stood up and testified, they'd say, I ain't no good. And that's what I'm talking about. They proclaim their badness just as enthusiastically as they, Pharisees, proclaim their goodness. Their badness is their goodness. I'm so bad. I'm so terrible. Why do you get upset when a preacher preaches hard then? Amen. Well, I'm saved now. Well, then you're righteous, right? No, I'm bad. Well, get right. I get right on a regular basis. Then you're right, right? No, I'm wrong. You're a nut. That's what you are. You know what it is? Somebody heard a preacher say, we're all bad. They heard a preacher like Alan Ryman say, you're nothing but a nothing. Yeah. And you know what? You ain't nothing but a nothing. Yeah. But that's one side of the coin. Listen, you can't build a life doctrine off one side of the coin. Amen. So that's what we're going to look at here. Boy, have I been preaching a long time already? I must have been. Let's look in Romans chapter 3 and let's read the verses. Verse number 11, he said, well, let's read verse number 9 first. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. You believe that? All are under sin. Okay. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. You believe that? I believe that with all of my heart. Now, as I continue to preach this sermon, you're going to think he don't believe that, but I do believe that. Amen. But we compare Scripture with Scripture, right? We figure these things out. Verse number 10, he said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. Anybody in here understand the doctrine of predestination? That should be an easy one. We just spent like 5 weeks in Ephesians chapter 1. Anybody understand that doctrine, predestination? You understand it? There's none that understandeth. Well, obviously it doesn't mean that. Amen? Obviously it doesn't mean what you think it says. Verse number 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So we're going to talk about goody two-shoes for just a little bit. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Pray you'd help me, God. I really want to preach the gospel tonight. If there be one here lost, I pray you'd save them. I don't believe there's anybody here lost, but I don't know. I thought I saw some people come in that I didn't recognize. I don't know. But Lord, you know, and I pray, God, that you would use this gospel message to both save the lost and also, God, to speak to our hearts as saved Christians who bear your righteousness because you've imputed it to us. I pray you'd help us to see, help us to understand, Lord, if nothing else, be able to explain the need for salvation to those who believe that they don't need a Savior whatsoever. I pray you'd help us. Pray you'd watch over us tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, turn back with me now to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. You remember we read there's none righteous. None righteous. You believe that? All right, Psalm chapter 37. Look in verse number, we'll start reading verse number 21, I guess, for the sake of time. Verse number 21, the wicked borroweth. I'm glad the verse don't stop right there. Amen. Because I've borrowed before, hadn't you? the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. There it is, pay your bills. You borrow something and don't pay it back, you're wicked. Wicked, that's a step above evil. Did you know evil is everything bad? Evil is everything bad. That's why the Lord said he created evil. And when the Lord said he created evil, he didn't mean that he created adultery, drunkenness. What he meant was he created the fruit of doing bad things. You get a headache, that's evil. You know, if you wasn't a sinner, you wouldn't have a headache. Now, you could run with that a little further than you should. Hey, that person's got something going wrong. He must be a sinner. Well, we're all sinners. Just because something's happened to somebody that's bad doesn't mean it's in response to a particular sin. But everything that's bad is in response to sin in general. Because Adam fell and we're all sinners, well, then bad things, evil things are going to happen. God created evil as a response, as a payment. You reap what you sow. That's both good and bad. And God created the evil as judgment. Amen? But God didn't create wickedness. That's in the heart of man. That's in the heart of the devil. Amen. So he says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy. So there's no merciful people. There are no merciful people on this planet. He says, the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. None of you have ever give anything because Romans chapter 3 said there's none righteous. No, not one. Do you see my point? I don't even think I got to preach the rest of the message. They're talking about two different things here, and these are the things we're going to talk about. Have you ever give anything? Have you ever given anything? No. I better not get you to answer questions out loud. You won't stop doing it. Amen. But at any rate, the righteous giveth. When you give, God looks at you and says, that's a righteous thing. It's right to give. So it's called righteousness. The Bible says all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Well, if one didn't study the Bible, they'd begin to get a little confused, wouldn't they? Righteousnesses. He says in one place there's none righteous. No, not one. In this place, he says the righteous showeth mercy and giveth righteousness. What's a good way to define righteousness? Righteousness just describes what is right. Kind of like ugliness lets you know who's ugly. Amen? You really don't have to think about it too much. Look at Brother Mike. Yep, he's ugly, all right. You say, why? Because all this ugliness. Righteousness. Things that you do that are right. And when you give, it shows that there's something right about you. Now, some people, you'd have to guess a long time to figure out if they had anything that was right about them. But the Bible gives us, and I'm going to show you three or four places here, show you about how you can be righteous. And then we'll look at what the Bible says about that righteousness. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. I would also take it implied from the verse that part of righteousness is paying back what you've borrowed. That's a young man's sin. It really is. Eventually, if a person's got anything to them, any raisin at all, I don't know if you can use the word raisin up here. I'm not talking about dried grapes. I'm talking about the way you was brought up. If you got any raisin to you at all, you know it's right to pay your bills. I'm afraid this day and time they're not instilling that too much in their kids. As kids, they're telling them now you got a right to anything and just so long as it feels good. But no, if you borrow something from somebody, you need to pay it back. You say, what is that? Righteousness. It's righteousness to pay you back your debts. It's righteous to show mercy. Boy, that ought to be a good thing for you to know that God considers it righteousness to be merciful to folks. You know, in this lifetime, I don't know if you're a big man, a small man, a big woman, a little woman, But this life, no matter how much you've got or how much you own, no matter if you're rich or poor, no matter if you're popular or unpopular, everybody alike, God is going to give you many, many opportunities in this life to show mercy. And to me, I think that is man's best opportunity to show righteousness. I'm not talking about you'll go to heaven because you were merciful to people, but God will show you mercy if you'll show it to others. God give you the illustration of it, how that there was a man, somebody owed him money, and the borrower said to the lender, "Hey, show me mercy and I'll pay you everything." And the lender showed him mercy, but then that borrower turned right around to somebody that owed him money and threw him in prison. It's not the way it ought to be. See, that was the case of a little man having an opportunity to show mercy, and he didn't do it. And so turned out bad for him later on, didn't it? I hope you've been reading your Bible. But at any rate, he says here, look in verse 22, "For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that are cursed of him shall be cut off." Now look, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Let me say this about a good man. I'm talking about just an average, everyday good man. You're not going to separate a good man from the Lord very far. When we go through here and we talk about what a good man is, you're not going to get very far away from the Lord and be a good man. Amen? So he says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And I believe what he's saying in that verse of Scripture is, if you can go through the Bible and find something that's good, if you can find something that's right, if you can find something that's pure, and you can add that to your character, God is going to lead you. The steps, the Bible says they're ordered by the Lord. Did you know you could have the intention of going one place and all of a sudden change your mind and go to another place and God save you from some calamity that's going to happen? Might be a calamity, might be a temptation, might be a trial of some time, of some kind. But if you're trying to do right, if you're trying to do good things, God can order your steps and keep you out of trouble. Amen. You say, if in the sense of God's righteousness, if there's none righteous, in the sense of God's righteousness, we only have his imputed righteousness, is there any value to trying to do right? Is there any goodness that'll come from just trying to live a ordered, established life? Sure there is. God will order your steps if you're a good man. And then like I was about to say a little bit ago, I put up that Facebook post about, you know, hopefully I'm a better man now than when I got saved. And I didn't say it in exactly those terms. I didn't memorize the post. But at any rate, that was the gist of it. And somebody piped up and said, "Brother, we're not good at all." Well, then you should be in jail. Are you a bad guy? Shame on you. You need to get to the altar. Huh? You're not been paying your bills? You're a bad guy? You need to get to the altar, bub. "Well, Brother Mike, you know how it goes. We're all bad." Yeah, we all ought to get to the altar then, huh? "I do things I shouldn't, Brother Mike." Well, get on the altar and get right about it. But see, there we go again. "Well, we're all bad." Well, you just accepted that and put it in your little pack. Carry it around with you for the rest of your life. No, if you know there's something bad about you, you're supposed to get those things right. Amen. That was common knowledge when you went to church when I was a little boy and when I was a teenager. I mean, there wasn't nobody back in 1978 sitting around church going, "I'm bad and proud of it." We need to do something about that. There's plenty of biblical examples here of what a good man ought to be. Let's look in Psalm 112. We're in the book of Psalms. Let's go on ahead and look at Psalm 112. I begin to get some strange looks off of those couple of verses right there. I think we got some folks might be behind on a few bills. But we'll give you a little grace for, because of COVID. Ain't been able to work and all that good stuff. Psalm 112, I know you ain't going to work because you ain't going to church, some of you. So you must be out of work too. Boy, I tell you what, I wouldn't dare go to work and not go to church. Oh, when COVID was bad, I mean, if it has ever been bad, I'm still debating about that or not. I mean, but anyway, if I ever did decide not to come to church because of it, boy, I certainly wouldn't went to work too. If I went to, if I laid out of church and said, COVID, too bad to go to church. Sometimes, I mean, I can't hear it audibly, but sometimes it feels like somebody's pulling their fingernails across the chalkboard. That's the look that you get sometimes, but I don't care. My wife loves me. She's going to go home with me tonight and kiss me on the cheek and tuck me into bed and wake me up in the morning when it's time to go to work. I don't care if you like me or not. Psalm 112, it's true. Boy, it's true. I hope you know it's true. Don't be laying out of church for COVID and then going to work. That's wrong. That's not good. Amen. That's the theme of the good. That's not good. Amen. I would go to church and lay out of work. If I was going to go to one, lay out of the other one, I'll do that, man. Well, Brother Michael, man's got to work. Well, not if you ain't got to be good, Master. You just go to church, lay out of work, sign up. Listen, have you ever paid taxes? Well, go ahead and sign up for welfare and get the welfare. You paid it. I'd rather, listen, when I grew up, man, people paying taxes, you know, this sermon getting longer and longer. My grandparents and great-grandparents, I only knew one of my great-grandparents, and I only knew grandmothers because all my grandpas was dead. I have to say these things because, Brother Mike, you lied in your sermon because you said your grandpa. Okay, I just want to be clear. My grandmothers. But they said, listen, I ain't never getting on welfare. That's what they said. I might have been pride or something like that, but hey, the welfare money is the money you paid in. I'd rather you get it. When people talk about all these stimulus checks, boy, don't want nothing from the government. But you got them stimulus checks, didn't you? But I'd rather you get it than for them, if they're going to send $10 trillion to China and Trinidad and all these other places they send your money to, send it to you. Send it to me. I'd rather get it than some Muslim that's going to buy rockets with it and shoot at my fellow Marines overseas. Amen. But at any rate, I don't know how I got on that, but must have come down from the heavens. Psalm 112, verse number 5. Let's look at this one. A good man. Of course, there ain't no such thing as a good man. But if there was, a good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. You know what discretion is? It's the ability to make your own decisions. Well, some of you teenagers looking forward to the day when you can make your own decisions. Amen. Well, all you got to do, go back to the book of Proverbs. And it'll tell you right in Proverbs chapter 1 that the book of Proverbs was made to give you discretion. Start reading the book of Proverbs, memorize it, apply it to your life. This is what a wise man does. Apply it to your life. Then the Lord will look at you and he'll say, you're a good man. And when the Lord looks at you and says, you're a good man, you'll have favor with the Lord, and then the Lord will give you favor with other men like your dad and with women like your mama. And they'll say, that sure is a mature kid I got. And then they'll start letting you make your own decisions. But when they let you make your own decisions and you go get drunk, it's probably going to be a while before you get to make another decision. When they first decide, well, I'm going to let him drive the car, and he drives the car and stays out till like 3 o'clock in the morning, that's not discretion. That's dunce stuff. I was going to try to make up a word like dunching, but that didn't work. That didn't work. I try to make up words sometimes, but that's a big dunce. You made a dunce move right there. That's not discretion. That's not good. You got the opportunity to make up your own mind, and you made a bad decision. How many of us ever made bad decisions? I still make bad decisions, and Ruth grounds me from time to time. But, amen, like I'll go buy a gun or something like that, and she'll take my card away until it gets... It's mutual arrangement. Hey, but you got to be wise. Got to make good. The Bible says you make good decisions. That discretion, that makes you a good man. A good man showeth favor. Amen? When's the last time you showed somebody favor? When's the last time you showed you favor? We're talking about men buying something. When's the last time, boy, I had to take care of this before I preach tonight. When's the last time you bought something for your wife? Are we good? Uh-huh. I done got Mother's Day out of the way. I have bought me a ton of stuff. I like stuff. Also things. Like all that stuff. I like it. I show me favor quite a bit. But when the Bible says a good man shows favor, he's not talking about to yourself. He's talking about to other people. My kids come to me sometime, Brother Joe, and say, Daddy, can we, whatever else comes after that. My first inclination is to say no. You know why my first inclination is to say no? Because saying yes is going to cost me something. Money ain't even the most important thing it's going to cost me. Usually, time. If I say yes, I'm going to have to carry somebody somewhere. It's like when people say, would you do this wedding or preach this funeral? It's usually, no. That's a whole Saturday. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm going to do my best to not do any weddings ever. Say a few words at a wedding, I might do that. But like, take up the rest of my day with it, no thanks. But if I did put myself out that way, that would be showing favor. I'm not that good. It was just 20 minutes. Amen. But some of these things we look at and we say, if that's what a good man is, I'm not very good. My first inclination to my children is often, no. No, no. But then I think about it. You know, they have been good. They're not perfect. They're not righteous in the sense that God is righteous. But they're pretty good kids of mine. And they might mess up tomorrow, but up till this point, they've been pretty good. Amen? You gotta say stuff. You have to, this day and time, you have to say stuff like that too, or somebody will come up and, Brother Mike, you said your kids are good. Now they're going to do something bad. It's like, you are the most superstitious people on the planet. But I will go with you and say it is possible they will mess up tomorrow, but up to this point they've been pretty good. And I remember that and say, boy, you know what? I better show them a little favor. But if I hold fast to my guns and I ain't never going to do nothing that costs me any time for them, that makes me a bad person. I ain't never doing nothing for my wife. I know she cooks for me and cleans for me and goes to work. You ever read Proverbs 31 about what a virtuous woman is? Like she's a real estate agent and a fine linen crafter and a... y'all did read Proverbs 31. You men didn't read it because you thought that was for just the women to read that. She's a workhorse. Well, you probably shouldn't call her that. But it is. She's a worker. If you don't realize, maybe you got, I don't know if you got a good wife or a bad wife, but if you got a good wife that's working and doing some things, you better should give her some favor from time to time. Show her some favor from time to time. Amen. Amen. So you say, why? Well, look at Proverbs. Let's look over at Proverbs chapter 12. I think I'm probably taking up too much of the time this evening. Proverbs 12, verse number 1, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord. You give favor, God sees you're a good man that gives favor, he'll give you favor. A good man obtains favor. Well, you know, these verses wouldn't be saying this if there wasn't such a thing as a good man. I know you got the doctrine out of Romans 3 in your head to the point where you said there's no good man nowhere, but there is good men somewhere. And the point of this message is some of these things that the Bible points out about these good men, you ought to be implementing in your life. Showing mercy and showing favor and lending, which I kind of break. I must not be a good man because I don't lend. You lose more friends lending money. But on the other verse that we read said a good man gives, so I just give. A good man lends. I'm not saying, hey, brother, I said that one time. I said, I don't lend money because people don't pay it back, and then it comes between us. So just give it to them. Amen? Well, I'm not saying you can't lend. It said a good man gives, and it also said a good man lends. You can lend if you want to and let somebody borrow stuff if you want to. Just you ought to have some discretion about that like a good man has, and think about it. Oftentimes, you got look at a man. If somebody that I knew was an honest person and paid their debts back like a good man does, we've already read that. If he'd come to me and said, hey, let me borrow $5,000. Well, sorry, I don't have $5,000. Well, let me borrow five then. Okay, I'll let you borrow five because I know he's going to pay it back. Well, generally just, I mean, give that too. I mean, we're just talking about what ifs. But I say that to say this. If a man come to me and I knew he had a character problem and I knew that he needed something from me more than a $5 bill, he might need a verse of scripture from me. He might need a sermon that's going to be preached. He might need to be in church. And that might be more valuable than $5 bill. So if I know I'm going to lend him $5 and then he's not going to come back because he knows he owes me some money, then I'll just give him the $5. He can keep coming to church with a good conscience and maybe he'll get something more valuable than $5 down the way. And I ain't going to be out of $5. I can borrow $5 from my wife. Amen? And she probably will make me pay it back, but you never can tell. You never can tell. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. That's a good thing about reading the book of Proverbs. It'll oftentimes give you both sides of the situation there. But we don't have time for a class on Proverbs tonight. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 22. He says, a good man, that's going to prove me not to be a good man here. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children. And the wealth of the sinner, see, that's the opposite. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. A good man lay up something for his kids and his kids' kids to get. And God's just going to take away, if you're a bad man, God's just going to take your stuff and give it to somebody that deserves it, the just. Right? That's what it says. A good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Somebody out there, I could get real charismatic preacher like, somebody out there today is making their first $1 million so that God can bless you one of these days. People eat that stuff up. I'm going to get my money. I'm going to get my money. Well, that's what it says. Amen. I'll take it because I'm going to need it because I ain't going to have no money to leave to my kids' kids, but I'll tell you something I can leave to my kids' kids. I probably won't leave no monetary inheritance to my kids' kids. Will you? Probably not. Just looking at you, I'm going to guess no. But I can leave my kids' kids a love for the Bible. That's an inheritance. You know, the book of Ephesians says we've acquired an inheritance from the Lord. You got any money? Must not be talking about money then. Must be talking about spiritual things. And I can apply this thing to spiritual things. I believe in that passage of Scripture, he's talking about things. But I can leave spiritual things to my kids' kids. Amen. My Bible. Amen. What I've learned from the Bible, belief in the Bible. Amen. To my kids' kids. Amen. I'm at my age, I'm just hoping I see him. Amen. Oh, my boy's 7 years old. I'm 50. I've done the math on that several times to see how I might see some grandchildren out of my boy. Amen. Come a little. If I do see him, I'll be so blind. I won't be able to get a good look at him. Well, that'd be all right if they look like Alan. Looks like all of our grandkids are going to look like Alan. So I guess it really doesn't matter if we see him too close. Amen. But at any rate, amen. Let's look here. Now let's look here and be serious for just 2 minutes or three, maybe five at the most. Let's go back to the book of Psalm chapter 16. And look what it says. Now, I believe with all my heart that God's given you real good attributes that men can have. Did you know that, like I said a while ago, these good attributes, you don't get very far from the Lord and still have these attributes. But there was a man that was over in the book of Acts. He was a centurion. And he was a lost man. But he was a good man. He was so good that the Lord took notice of him. Amen? So, amen. There's something to that. Look here, having said that, let's look in Psalm chapter, I think I said 16, and verse number 1 says, preserve me, O God. See, he has to do the preserving. You don't have enough goodness to preserve you. Amen? Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. No matter how good you are, hey, listen, if you loan and give and show favor and got an inheritance for your children's children's children, you still better put your trust in God. Amen. Amen? You say, why, Brother Mike? Well, look at verse 2. O my soul, this man talking to himself. O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee. No matter how good you are, you ain't got enough goodness to be going to heaven because of it. You ain't got enough goodness to take you from where you are right now and set you beside God's throne and say, we're kin, you and I. Amen? The Lord is a standard. The Lord is a high standard. Now, the Lord is such a high standard, you'll never live up to it. God is merciful. You could be merciful and be considered a good man, but you ain't got as much mercy as God has. You know what? Listen, this. I hope this will get you under real conviction. We've laughed and talked, and some of you have yawned a little bit over the past 20 or 30 minutes or ever how many hours I've been preaching. But I hope this will get you real good. You know what? Mercy is a good thing. A merciful man is a good man. But you know the kind of mercy we've got? We got the kind of mercy where if one of our best friends or one of our buddies or one of our chums, if they do us wrong, we say, oh, man, forget about it. But if our wife does us wrong, we won't talk to her for 3 weeks. That's how much mercy we got. We got an uneven, uneasy, kind of a weird kind of a mercy, don't we? Some of you folks have had people walk across your back time and time again, and you're still good to them, but the mama that raised you and fed you, you ain't talked to her in 6 months because you're a little mad because you've done something. One of your cousins got your grandmother's salt shakers. That's the kind of mercy. Mercy is good. Being favorable is good. Being kind and lending and giving is good. But we're always going to have this lopsided kind of uneven goodness. And that ain't God's kind of goodness. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross. It's the ultimate example of what goodness is. It's the ultimate example of greatness. And God died on the cross for us people who were raised in church and never been out too far. And some of us been out a little ways, but not too far. And God, we've heard the message and we accepted the message and we're so bad, we're good. We know we're bad, so we're good. And we hardly consider, but we hardly consider the fact that Jesus died on the cross. It's hard for me even to say that Jesus died on the cross for a man abused one of his little girls. Because I don't know much about what good is. There's a piece of my mind that says a guy that would do that, probably no way he could be saved. He's probably gone too far that he could probably not be saved. But that's not what the Bible says. The love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all A-double-L-D-E-A-D. They were all dead. Homosexuals, child molesters, murderers, rapists, those, all of those laws, all of those things you're talking about, you broke all those, all of them. The Bible says you offended in one point, you broke the whole law. You're guilty of the whole law. Offend one of these little children. It'd be better for you if a millstone was hung around your neck and you cast into the sea. Who can be saved? Isn't that a great example of Jesus' goodness then? And we go back to Romans chapter 3, and he says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. When it comes to God, our goodness don't reach to him. But what little bit of goodness we can have, boy, I want some. Hey, I'm saved. I've got God's imputed righteousness. I got something on the inside. You know, we're supposed to live from the inside. You was out there sinning because you're a sinner. And what's on the inside came out. Now we've got Christ in our heart. We've got imputed righteousness. Now can't we be good a little bit? Can't we? Well, we hardly ever think about that, though. We hear so much, we're bad, we're bad, we're bad, we're bad, we're bad, we're bad. We're bad. We're so bad. We're so bad. We're so bad. We're so bad. Well, I felt so bad. I said I was joking right afterward, but I called Reese stupid. Standing right here, I was standing right here. And then I walked over here and said, I'm just kidding. But I still felt bad about that. I felt bad about that because I don't walk around with my kids. Hey, stupid, what are you doing, stupid? Stupid, 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 stupid. Bunch of stupid stupids, you bunch of stupid idiots. I don't mind saying that to my kids. Well, when they walk around like this one day with a blank look on their face. You know, I wish I had some. One of these days I'm going to put on little kids' clothes and follow Alan around one day saying, hey, teach me how to do this and teach me how to do that. I would, but I'm a proud man. No good. But man, when I was a kid, that, you know, get outside, you stupid. Amen. Otherwise, I think they're great people, my ancestors. They just didn't like kids very much. I'd kind of like to learn how to plant that row of corn. Get out of the field, you stupid. Amen. Daddy, can I help you fix that car? God, you get out of the way. I've got to get this done. And then you come to church. Bad, bad, stupid, bad, 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 bad. Some of you are idiots, though. Amen? We do idiot stuff, don't we? But that's just to wake you up. Now listen, you got something in you now that'll supercharge that goodness. Amen. If you want to be that way, though. Amen. Get around an altar and say, God, help me to be good. Amen. If I got goodness in me, if I got your righteousness in me, help me to be that. Amen. Help me to be that. Amen. So, Brother Mike, all we want to do is go home and go to sleep. Well, I hope you sleep good. Amen. Good, good. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, and we thank you for your mercy to us unworthy sinners. I do believe we're unworthy. Lord, I do believe all those things, but I do believe that there is a possibility for us to add to our faith virtue, which is strength, good things, good character, good habits, lifestyles. God, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to learn these things. I believe some folks, God, have made a career out of studying Exodus chapter number 20 righteousness, and we really need to study Proverbs righteousness, the kind that shows a young man how to go about things and how to approach things. And Lord, I pray you'd give us the discretion to do that. Of course, we'll have to study your word, and we'll have to pour over it and memorize it and hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. But Lord, I believe that not only can we be saved, imputed righteousness, Christians, we can be good people and have good testimonies and have a good name in the community. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to that end. Help us, oh God. And Lord, I pray with all my heart, if there's a person in this building that's relying on their everyday goodness, God, to get them to heaven, I pray you would magnify your goodness alongside of their goodness. And I pray you'd show them their need for salvation, God, because there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Pray you'd help us. Pray you'd strengthen us. We'll thank you and praise you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. All right, brother.